It's the Two Johnnies Podcast. Two Johnnies Podcast.
Two Johnnies recording a podcast.
Hello, hello, hello.
You're welcome to the Two Johnnies Podcast, bringing you all the mayhem and news from the world of the Two Johnnies.
I'm Johnny B.
And I'm Johnny Smacks. You're very welcome to Podcast 102, coming to you fresh out of the oven from Two Johnnies HQ in Kerr, County Tipperary.
Yo-ho-ra.
Proper order on this week's podcast. With a general election looming, we debate what the real issues are.
Do not cross this man's field unless you can do it in under 9 seconds. Because him, his shotgun and the bull, they can do it in 10. Noel Furlong will be here with the news.
Maura has a tale to tell about a trip on the Red Lewis line for her mystery topic this week. Sounds ominous.
And as traditional as telling everyone you're doing Dry January, like you deserve some sort of medal for doing it, we round off the podcast with our
Yurts and Dirts of the Week.
And welcome to all of our new listeners. The gospel according to the Two Johnnies is spreading further and further all the time. But if you're a new disciple, go back to the very beginning and enjoy the crack from there. It's just better that way. It makes more sense, doesn't it?
You're about that.
And we seem less crazier. Before commencing with proceedings, matters arising from last week's podcast.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Cormac emailed podcast at thetwojohnnies.ie.
Cormac? You're struggling with that, like Cormac.
He emailed to say... Because we were in Australia.
Yes.
Dear Johnnies, heard this story about my auntie for the first time over Christmas. And while it doesn't really have anything to do with the topics you were talking about recently, I thought you should hear it. My auntie is originally from Australia, but moved over here to Ireland for work about 20 years ago and is as Irish as they come at this stage. So anyway, one day her and my uncle were out for the night in some pub in Dublin to watch an Ireland soccer match. Not exactly sure of what year it was, but around the late 2000s. My uncle had headed up to the bar while my auntie waited in their seats, and she heard an ongoing conversation at the next table. There was a man with a thick Scottish accent loudly ruling out any chance Ireland had of winning that evening or progressing in whatever competition it was they were playing in at the time to the group of friends that were watching the match with him. Well, my Australian auntie, being the staunch Irish fan that she is, thought this was rather uncalled for. So she turned around to the Scottish-sounding man and gave out to him saying, "What would you know about Irish football, mate?" So to which his friends reacted by saying, "Yeah, what the fuck would you know about Irish football?" and bursting out laughing. Long story short, the man turned out to be none other than Ray Houghton. Yes, former international soccer player, the man who put the ball in the English net. Ray apparently found the whole thing hilarious, conceded that she was right, he didn't know much about Irish football, and paid for their drinks for the rest of the night. That's Cormac and Kells, and he says, P.S., Kells for Keegan 2020, and Moore has told us that the Keegan Cup is the Meath Senior Football Championship, named after Sydney player Tom Keegan.
Oh, I love that story.
Ray Houghton, what a hero. Also, no need to pay for their drinks.
Yeah,
this has been a running theme in these. Like, I swear to God, if I ever meet a famous person, I'm going to go up, start a row, and hopefully it'll end with like, yeah, you know, I headbutted George Clooney, but like, he was sound, paid for me Smithwicks, you know? This is uncalled for, but fair play to you.
If you have any stories of meeting other Irish legends or celebrities.
Any celebs.
Let us know. We'll read them out. It doesn't even matter if it's defamatory.
Kind of does.
We hope the stories are true, but they don't have to be.
Okay, Chloe has been in touch. Well, Johnnies, I've been dying to write in about this story. I have a story about my friend Eita.
Eita?
Eita.
Eita, got it right.
It's a made-up name, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, Chloe. Back when we were teenagers hanging around the fields and country roads, the young fellas would make the regular journey out from the town for a bit of shifting. Eita had this boyfriend, Sebastian, that's definitely made up, when we were around 14, who would regularly make the trip to see her. They were so mad about each other, and this went on for ages. To make things easier for them to spend more time together, he would stay at her best friend's house. The best friend was her neighbour, who we'll call Paddy.
We're running out of fake names now.
Time passes, and needless to say, the romance didn't last. In the meantime, Paddy had announced he's gay, not exactly new information to his circle of best girlfriends. And then the whole sordid story comes out. So it turns out while Eita spends all her evenings shifting the face off Sebastian, he'd say goodnight and go back to Paddy's that night to spend his night getting off with Paddy. Not only was Eita's fella cheating on her with her best friend, to add insult to injury, her best friend had a willy. The friendship lasted The friendship lasted through the willy sucking betrayal, and to this day one of our favourite pastimes when we're all together is to reminisce on the absolute fucking madness that transpired. Now obviously, in the interest of protecting everyone's identity, I've changed all the names, and please don't mention the county you were from. I've told Eta I'll be sending this in, and I promise I'll make her a cup of tea in the mug if I win it. Back in our lovely county, blank, of course. Couldn't expect Johnny B to pay postage to Australia, of course. P.S. I know you normally describe the male genitalia a bit differently, but us culture girls are too innocent to describe it as cock or dick.
You just did.
In polite company, at least. Thanks, lads. Chloe. Crazy story.
Yeah.
Whoa.
That sure looks...
Do you know what I mean? I think, like, we're not mad down the country, you know, or, you know, sexually... What's the word?
Adventurous.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a fella fucking...
They're 14 years of age.
Yeah.
14, we were going out playing in Sugarbeet. That was about as exotic as we got now. I might hop a lump of Sugarbeet off Friendly Highland or something.
I was just tearing at my own willy at that age.
Mother of God.
I love that. Thanks, Chloe. Thanks for that one.
Well, that segues nicely into the next formal complaint about Maura's mystery topic. Dear Johnnies, please, please, please politely ask Maura to stop, and they have used capital letters, Maura, so you know this is real. Stop talking about sex.
Sex. You said that like a Dutchman. Yes, sex. Stop talking about sex.
About sex and the sexual activities during her mystery topics. It makes for a very embarrassing listening on the long drive with the mother in the passenger seat, listening to Smacks talking about going 90, fingering a young one when he was a bi.
Still am.
God bless, keep well, from someone who was asked to remain anonymous. So, dear listener, I will personally continue to strive to raise the bar,
yes,
of this podcast. I'm sorry if the rest of the team,
yeah,
have let you down. Lads, do you want to retort?
Yeah, it's perfectly okay to talk about sex. It's
not. Her mother is probably learning something. Yeah. Her mother's probably going home to the father and be like, Seamus, take out the laptop, sit down there now. Open up, I have a website for you. Might learn something.
I fully agree. You know, sex isn't sordid anymore, lads. You know what I mean? We should be well able to talk about it nowadays.
It used to be.
It did, lad. You know what I mean? We were repressed for long enough.
Yeah, look, sex. Dear listener, your mother's not a virgin.
Yeah, yeah. So as Johnny B says, keep talking about sex. And not so formal complaint here about Maura's mystery topic. Well, lads and Saint Maura, please keep my name anonymous because I'm a good Catholic girl. But more importantly, I think my younger brother listens to the podcast. After hearing Maura's steamy topic on episode 100, I thought I'd tell you about the best Xmas present I got recently. My boyfriend gifted me a magic wand. Oh my God. And I'm not talking about Harry Potter shit. I'm talking about a vibrator. Okay. As if we couldn't fucking... As if we didn't get that. I got 10 different levels of intensity and 7 different patterns. Also doubles up as a massager.
I'm sorry, like the 10 different levels of intensity and 7 different patterns. That sounds like senior football training.
This girl also goes on to say it also doubles up as a massager. Sorry, I know massages are a sensitive topic for Smacks. Yes, they are currently. This girl is currently on Erasmus in Germany, and so it's the most amazing companion while I'm away. Think the idea was, of course, to keep me satisfied until I'm back, but also to stop me running off with a Klaus or a Wolfgang over here. Anyway, if anyone out there is stuck for a gift for their female significant other, or even themselves, I'd highly recommend getting one. Love the podcast, lads, and if you're ever in Germany, hit me up for a few pints. We will not!
That's fair going out with a boyfriend, I'll keep her honest.
Yeah.
Fair play to him, yeah.
I wonder, does it have his face on it or something?
He must be worried, though, like that, like, if that's really good. He's got a lot to live up to when she comes back from Germany. Like,
yeah.
Is he in possession of a willy that can give 10 different levels of intensity and 7 different patterns? Well, he'll be wrecked.
What I've heard is that it could...
Oh, what you've heard, is it?
Well, on the Google
what
again,
Mark. What I've heard is that it actually can be... you can use it while you're both in the bed. So, it doesn't have to be... Oh, yeah. She doesn't have to fly solo. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Your friend
heard that one in the canteen?
I read it in a newspaper. Okay. Oh,
brilliant, brilliant.
The Irish Times has gone to fuck. Now, I reckon your man just gave her that, like, I wonder, does it have a little soundboard on it? You know, like Bart Simpson had a toy that was like, eat my shorts.
Yeah, yeah.
Does the vibrator make Like, can he record personal messages yeah. into the vibrator? Like,
it's like, zzz, how are we getting on?
That's lovely. <Zzz. laughs> Throwback correspondence. Patrick was in touch to say, I just downloaded the podcast over here in Sweden. Shaksh. And I'm loving it. The looks I get on the subway on the way to work because I'm splitting my whole laughing are priceless. I'm listening to episode 83 and you were asking for commuter stories. Well, try this one on for size. I'm heading home from a friend's house one night after a few beers and grub and I get on the bus. Now, I'm on my own, so I sit by the door in the middle so I can hop off fast. I'm only going 4 stops, so that's great. At stop 3, a woman gets on with her child in a buggy. A small, like, can't even walk yet, needing help with everything, like myself on a night out.
Oh,
wait.
Remember now, I'm alone on the bus. She lifts up her child and sits beside me on the bus. Now, that's a nice thing, I suppose, breaking the norm from staring at your phone and ignoring everyone. Well, this is where it gets awkward. She proceeds to pull out her ample breasts to feed the hungry child. Now, that's fine. Great for the child and nothing strange. The problem is, I'm getting off at the next stop. Try turning to a woman with her boob out and asking her to move so you can get off the bus without looking at said breast or looking like a mad fucker. Needless to say, she was well pissed off and I had to awkwardly brush past her as she refused to stand up so I could get out easily. Great way to end your night of beer and grub.
Wow.
Like, if you were going breastfeeding on the bus, would you sit beside the only other passenger on the bus?
That's what I was saying. That was a bit off.
I'd say he's probably sitting up at the front and she's probably sitting closest to the place where you can leave the buggy or something like that. So, yeah, awkward situation. But sure, look, at most natural thing in the world, breastfeeding. So you shouldn't feel weird.
Yeah, no, we're in favour.
Yeah.
Get him out. throw him out, kid. Boobs.
Dear Johnny's question on Pod 100. Amy on Insta said, well, lads, just listening to episode 100 and the young lady that has the prick of a fella that's lashing on the pressure to get to the gym. I'm with my fella 9 years and he's a pro fighter and a PT. He has never once made me feel like I have to lose weight to look a certain way. Now, I'm into the gym and being active, but I wasn't always that way. But he never made me feel like I had to get to the gym to shift the weight. In fact, it seems that he's more interested in getting the ride off me when I've got a bit of weight on me. Christmas was deadly. But seriously, if she's happy about the way she looks, she needs to tell him to back off or fuck off. Also, tell Maura that if she's looking for a good Muay Thai gym, to give me a shout. The fella's Muay Thai gym is Jammers with a sound bunch of lads and ladies. You two are more than welcome to come along too. Loving the podcast, started in November and have just caught up. Keep up the good work. Now, Maura, you've got an offer there to throw a few.
I'd fucking be there, but I don't have the time. Like,
so. Busy woman.
I'll just you know, practice on you instead. So.
Ooh, yeah, we'll have two black eyes next week.
Snake story. Oh, lads. Mark messaged us on Insta to say, I have a story for you on the subject of snakes. I was 2 weeks into my apprenticeship in Brisbane, Australia, when the boss, who is racist as fuck, only against Irish, called me over and said, I need to clean up this room. I said, no bother. And went and got a brush and shovel, went into the room. Next minute, the boss shuts the door and locks it. I was like, what a weirdo, and started sweeping when I look and see a snake in the corner looking rather angry. Now, the panic is really kicking in as I have a serious fear of these snake fuckers. So then the snake starts coming towards me and I freak out and I behead the fucker. So after that happens, I start banging on the door and the boss opens it laughing until he sees the snake dead and me shaking. He starts freaking out and roaring at me, so I start shouting back about being set up. It turns out it was a brown snake, very dangerous, and it is illegal to kill them. But to make things worse, it turns out the snake was also owned by my boss.
Ho-ho.
Needless to say, it made things even worse between us, and I ate my lunch in the welding bay for the next 6 months. Mark in Kilmallock, or from Kilmallock.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Your boss is a prick.
Yeah, he should have chopped his head off.
A pet brown snake. Get a dog, will you?
Kind of a sicko, is he, like? Just getting old terrier or something.
Get a dog.
Finally, lads, we've got some more Samba Soccer correspondence. Oh. By it's been a couple of weeks, but I was thrilled to see this one coming in. So Kevin on Snapchat said, "Howie lads, I have a Samba Soccer story for you that's come to my attention recently. My cousin is a professional coach, and as he was starting out, he got involved with a Samba Soccer camp in Macroom in Cork. A coach, he has in inverted commas, from Brazil, flew over for it, and my cousin and my aunt put him up in their house. He was the nicest lad going, but with fuck all English. They brought him down to the local one night to help him settle in a bit, and after a pint and a half, he was absolutely langers, as he'd never drank before in his life. When it was time to go home, when the camp was over, he was absolutely inconsolable before leaving the house. He was in floods and floods of tears that could create a river bigger than the Amazon. A true cult hero from Kevin. Oh. So these lads got attached.
What was his name?
Oh, it's definitely like Fabrizio, lad, or something. Ronaldo.
I can't believe he was drunk after a pint and a half.
She not remember your first can.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, it'd be spinning after a can. Who's going to get the Two Johnnies podcast mug this week? Lads and ladies.
There's the Ray Houghton story.
That's pretty good. Yeah, we go with the Ray Houghton one.
Congrats.
Yeah. So make sure that you email podcast@thetwojohnnies.ie.
That's Cormac and Kells.
Cormac and Kells. Good man, Cormac. You can get in touch and more. I'll sort you out with the mug. And also check out our new merchandise on thetwojohnnies.ie. And buy it if you want. There's a new Noel's News hat is out.
It's class.
It's deadly. So check that out. Right. The weekly roundup.
What's been going on in Two Johnnies Land? We're back from Australia having absolutely kicked bash fuck out of the tour. Swear to God.
We absolutely Mick Dundee'd it. Swear to God.
Drop kicked Australia out the gap. Over the bar. The tour points.
The tour went really well. It went really well. Yeah. We were apprehensive. Like, it's like that. You don't know what to expect like until you get there. And all the shows sold. Three of them sold out and 304. And obviously the fourth was on a Sunday.
As so Meatloaf says.
304 ain't bad.
Yeah.
But it was brilliant. The crowds are fucking buzzing. Like, I think they just love to see someone Irish in town as well.
Mm.
There is, like, a lot of people are saying to us, like, oh, I'll be homesick and I try on the podcast on a Monday for an old bit of home and that. Like, and it's great to think that, you know, you're giving them an old bit of happiness on a Monday.
If we can help. Because, like, Irish bands do go over. Like, they said they had the Coronas and Damien Dempsey and all. But I think when we're coming over, it's like your cousins are coming over or something.
Those crazy cousins, yeah.
No, nobody says like, oh, Damien Dempsey, I feel like I know you.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Whereas the people are listening to us going like, oh, it's only Dubai's, how are you getting on?
Yeah, like, when we went over, it's like, where are you going for pints? Where are you going for pints? I swear we could have went to Australia and just drank with people for a week.
Yeah.
Sold tickets to go for pints. Buy a ticket and go for a fucking feed of beer with the boys.
Hey, could be something on.
We could look into that. Our manager now will be hearing that. He'll be like, we got that going.
So we finished up in Sydney. It was the only city that we actually had a chance to have a look around.
Mm-hmm.
We went to Bondi. I went during the day, done the walk to Coogee, and I have to say, everybody in Sydney is a ride.
Yeah.
We went to the beach. All the lads were like, was Heath Ledger from Australia?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, so like young Heath Ledger when he was doing like A Knight's Tale. He's got like the blonde surfer hair, tanned, six pack. Just, that's what all the lads were like. And the women were okay too. Yeah.
I would genuinely say that Home and Away is a fair reflection of the Aussie people. You know, like, I was always of the thinking that like, oh, Home and Away and Neighbours, they just get all the best looking Aussies and put them on telly. Not the case.
No.
Yeah.
The people like working in the coffee kiosk down the beach are just as good looking as April from Home and Away. And the fellas are very striking.
Yeah.
I was thinking like, Jesus.
They're all in good nick.
Nearly get off with one of them. Like, they're all like fucking,
they're lifting.
They're like Braxtons out of Home and Away.
Yeah.
They're all big. They're all built. And they all have tan. The men and the women have lovely tans. And it's so, like, it's so different to see a good tan rather than like someone who's smothered in Sally Hansen, you know, or Bella Niente. Other brands are available. But like, that natural tan, it just can't be.
Noticed that most of the men had their legs shaved.
Yeah.
Right.
I was considering it after a day or two.
And we found out the reason.
Why?
You were putting on sun cream every day of your life.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, like, because a couple of our friends are jockeys, and I was like, Jesus, boys, why do you have your legs shaved?
Yeah.
And they were saying, obviously, the rubbing off the horses and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and then if you're getting massages and rubs.
Yeah.
You shave your legs.
Like most soccer players have their legs shaved because you're getting rubs all the time.
Oh, I might shave them, lad, for the crack. Just see what it looks like. I'd say it'd be weird.
Oh, yeah, stubble would be off.
Not with my legs. Anyway.
But just, I feel like in Australia, having a six pack would be like buying a nice jacket here. It's just a fashion accessory.
Yeah.
Fuck it. They were all gorgeous. That's why Home and Away is big in Ireland and not in Australia.
Mm.
Because they're all gorgeous when you watch it. Like, they're all gorgeous anyway.
Yeah. No, it was deadly. Sydney was cool. It was cool to see the opera house and stuff got severely burnt.
Obviously, I was safe. I bought a cowboy hat.
Yeah, the cowboy hat was good, lad. The
rest of you got burnt. And then someone messaged me like, oh, the opera house is class. They brought my grandfather over to build it. Now, I don't know how true that is. But I was wondering what we were thinking afterwards.
Mm.
The opera house is like the most prominent property location in the entire of Australia.
Yeah.
And what a big call to say, do you know what we need? More opera.
Yeah.
Like, what mad bastard. Like, obviously the building is class.
It's very impractical.
It's very impractical.
But they're like, there's no need.
For a big opera house. For,
yeah.
Like, well, they do all kinds of gigs there.
Yeah, I understand that. But like, there's no need for it to be built the way it is built. Like.
But the fact that it's so mental looking is a tourist attraction in itself.
Yeah, it's just an odd building.
It's gorgeous, though. It's supposed to be like the design of seashells or something. Isn't it? Yeah.
Take it or leave it now, Mark, to be honest. The bar beside it, though, did make a lovely a lovely mimosa, which we treated ourselves to. That was nice.
Tipperary man Colin O'Riordan is now playing AFL football for the Sydney Swans. Mm. And he gave us a tour of the stadium and all. Unbelievable.
That was the highlight of the trip for me.
Yeah.
Shows were deadly, obviously, but like, the highlight was going to see that.
What struck me is I've forgotten that an AFL game is 4 30-minute quarters.
Mm.
So long.
Just stop the clock when the ball goes out of play. Like, so it's really long game.
Yeah, if it goes out for a sideline, they actually stop the clock. Like.
Yeah.
And he was saying they'd be running at least like 18 kilometres in the game.
Yeah, it was crazy. Oh my God.
Sick.
Dude, the one thing I took from it, and I suppose it's probably the same in the professional games around the world, like I thought in my mind that these professional athletes, say the likes of the lads playing AFL or Premier League soccer players, like, everybody thinks, yeah, they work 2 hours a day. They come in, they train, they go home.
Yeah.
Not the case. Colin was saying he goes in at like 10 to 7 in the morning and he doesn't leave till 5 o'clock.
My God.
Like that's what lads are doing in the factory. Like, obviously, it's brilliant. Like, you know, he's doing something he loves. Like,
and
everyone else is. But they come in, they do a piss test and a blood test every day and all this kind of stuff.
Check your mobility and your stretches. Mm. They get that prick in your finger that tests your blood cells. That if you, like, have too many belts short, like, taken, that you don't train and all this stuff.
Oh my God.
So professional. It was deadly to see a cool stadium, and I got me photo taken, got a signal, and we got an Aussie rules ball. The whole lot, I was delighted with myself. I thought they were going to let me out in the field, though, like, proper job, like, fucking smash one over the bar, yeah, between the posts.
I just want to say that it's a testament to Colin, who came from Tipperary. So there's only 16 Irish people on the roster playing AFL in the whole of Australia. He's not a giant. He's not a genetic freak.
Yeah.
And he was not like a child prodigy who's been playing the game all his life.
Yeah.
So he's made it ahead of millions of Aussies.
Yeah.
Out of pure hunger.
Yeah.
He must be some dog.
Yeah.
I'd hate to mark him.
Yeah, he's dedicating. Fair play to him. We also went to cricket while we're in Sydney.
Well, no, the T20, the big bash.
Yeah. So it was James's idea, really. James, tour manager. He was like, we'll go to cricket. And we're like, grand. And then we were absolutely wrecked. But we managed to perk ourselves up. We had a meat pie, like proper Aussies. You know, they don't do like
chicken rolls,
chicken roll or a burger at that match.
It's meat pies.
Meat pies and pints.
Jesus.
It's good. Meat good.
And it was 80s night at the cricket. So like, what they do? This is crazy.
Yeah.
The T20 is like, you know, smaller form of cricket. And it's like a party. In between like every bowl, they're like playing like 80 songs. Like. Yeah. And then everyone's dancing and like everyone's trying to get in television. Like Johnny was standing
up. I went out of my way for about half an hour trying to get in the big screen. I was like, Max, get your phone out. And your man,
there was a bunch of kids down there, like, you know, jumping up and down the camera. Johnny's just in the background jumping up and down. But it's fair funny, like, the one thing that they do really well in the cricket is like there's a good bit of crowd interaction, so the camera will go into the crowd and they've got flex cam where like you flex your muscles on the camera. And then they've got dance cam and they had something else. It was crazy. It was good experience to see it.
And they hand out these buckets. So KFC sponsor the cricket. Yeah. And the team's colours are pink. So everyone goes in and gets a pink bucket. And then if a ball goes into the crowd and you catch it in the bucket, you win like $1,000.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So everybody wears these buckets on their head. Like, great for KFC.
The fucking, you know, Aussies.
Not that practical, to be honest.
But the cricket was good crack.
Yeah, it was. It was good to see. Also, Australian sausages are fucking dirt, lad.
Dirt.
Dirt.
Dirt. Their sausages are dirt.
They're so bad. They're so bad.
They're so bad, the sausages. But we were coming back to Dubai. We stopped for breakfast. And you know, they don't do bacon.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
So on the menu.
Yeah, we know.
On the menu, it was like toppings on the omelette. Beef bacon. And I said, Siobhan, like, what's that? And she's like, obviously her English wasn't hectic. And she's like, beef bacon. And I'm like, yeah, what the fuck is that like? And this went on. So I was like, is it beef that's just cut in the shape of bacon?
Mm.
And she's like, sure.
So awkwardly. Like, I was trying to explain to him, like, they don't have ham here. Like,
yeah, but it was just little bits of beef in my omelette. Why are you calling it beef bacon?
He's very upset about this.
Sorry, I'm Dubai, I've got an issue. If the Sultan, whoever wants to email podcast that to you, John, let's get this going.
I'm sure he does.
This Sunday we're heading off on the 3FM ski trip. We're going to Austria.
Yeah, so by the time you hear this, we will be in Bad Hofgastein.
Yeah, not Maura. Sorry, Maura. Maura's working. She's got a real job.
Yeah, she's got a real job. We're gallivanting. We're going on the Today FM Ian Dempsey ski trip.
Yeah, we're going to be on the radio. We're going, I don't know what else we're doing.
Going to be on radio Tuesday and we're just going to be arsing around.
Have you been skiing before?
Never.
No.
But I did get a deadly ski suit.
Of course you did.
Yeah. It's a retro, like 1990s kind of, it looks like a shell suit, but it's obviously a ski suit and it's really shiny.
Can I ask you as a favour?
Yeah.
Promise me take a video of each other trying to learn to use the ski lift.
Okay. I tell you, I'm not gone. And I looked at that.
It's the lift where you have to put like a little kind of stool between your legs and you kind of get pulled up. It is honestly, watching people learn to use that for the first time is just hilarious.
I got travel insurance today because I'm like, something's going to happen to me. So I'm going to touch wood, it doesn't. But like, I'm actually dreading it. Obviously, the knees aren't great and skiing is certainly not made for that. But it should be good crack. We'll give it a go. I have a feeling it'll be like, you know, in Dumb and Dumber when they go to Aspen. In my mind, that's exactly what it's going to be. Johnny's going to be licking the pole with his tongue stuck to it. He could be licking worse in Australia.
And don't forget, we are doing Ireland's biggest ever live podcast in the Marquee in Cork on the June Bank Holiday in 2020. And we can tell you, it is almost sold out, honest to God.
Yeah, we're not messing. It's almost sold out. And when it does sell out, there's going to be a party. And there's going to be a party on that night as well. So payday is coming. People who get paid monthly, make sure that you buy a ticket and we will be forever indebted to you and you will have the greatest night of your life. And
I'm preparing my spilt milk texts.
Yes, 100%. The poster's ready. It's ready to go. The sold out poster is ready to go, lads. We love selling out stuff. We're going to get it done and we're going to party that night in Cork. Okay, we've come back from Australia to a flood of campaign posters as a general election is happening in Ireland on February the 8th. So we've decided to discuss what the two Johnnies, if we were a political party, what would we do?
Yes, what would be our campaign slogan, right? I reckon our slogan should be, well, we can't be any worse than the other crowd. Yeah, you feeling me?
I'd go for like two Johnnies, one seat, lad.
There you go.
And we'd share the seat. So that way we wouldn't have to go to the hall every day.
Oh, we'd have to share the wages then.
But sure, the way that they toggle fucking expenses now, lad. Yeah. Huh? Well, probably earn four wages out of it.
Double expenses. We get the gold card for Ryan's.
You have to be a minister to get a private car, is it?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, I don't know if... Does every minister get a state
car? But you could get
I think if you're a senior minister, you get a driver. If you're a minister of state, I don't think so.
Love a driver.
We get a sponsored car.
Yeah. My goal is like to have a driver. And it's like, yo, Morris, bring me in. I need milk. He pulls up.
You sit in the back then?
Always. I always sit in the back.
Okay, I've got the slogans here for all the main parties. Now, Fine Gael have gone for a future to look forward to. Because don't mention the past.
Yeah.
Or the present.
Yeah. Fianna Fáil have gone for an Ireland for all. Nice rhyme and slang there.
Mm-hmm. An Ireland for all.
Sinn Féin, working for you, working for Ireland's future. They always just kind of nod at a 32 counties. Labour, building an equal society, because they build fuck all else. People before profit, planet before profit.
Okay, that's good. That's going to get you excited, anyway.
Well, no, I feel like they're just following the trend now.
Yeah, could
very
be.
Captain Planet,
Oh, yeah. By our powers combined, the Social Democrats hope for better, vote for better. I think they
that's wishy washy.
They've just given up.
Yeah,
already.
It's kind of like, you know,
it might be okay. Yeah. It might be good. Give us a vote. You never know. Green Party, want green, vote green.
That's the worst slogan.
A little lack of imagination. Maybe they feel like everyone else is talking about the environment, but if you actually want some mad green shit, vote for them.
Mm. Yeah, to be honest, there's nothing there that really grabs me.
Does the slogan matter?
I don't think I don't think slogans are that big in the UK in that, but I think it's kind of like an Irish traditional thing that
I wasn't familiar.
Like, you know, think of all the great people that have slogans. You know, shopping as it should be. You know, super value. You know,
make America great again.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
He got that was Nixon's one.
Yeah,
yeah, it was the exact same. Red hat's not. He just took it again.
Genius. There you go. Why doesn't somebody take one of the ones of the past? Like, I wonder what Charlie Haughey's slogan was back in the day. It's like,
give me the money. The people of Ireland
make Charlie Haughey great again. Talking about this election, Johnny, like, does anybody really care anymore about elections? Like, is it worth voting in someone? As in, like, are they not all as bad as each other, like you just said?
Yes, but if you think about not voting, right, that's a genuine, will I do a protest vote or whatever.
Spoiled vote.
Yeah, but I've thought about it and I'm definitely going to vote.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think, especially in Ireland where we're such a new democracy.
Hmm. Yeah. I think it's a privilege to be able to vote in a democracy, and you should exercise it. And your vote actually does matter. I think, you know, like if, like, let's say, right, the situation for a lot of young people now, people our age, the big issues that need solving generally across the country are childcare, housing. And they're like, that's people our age, but people in their 20s and 30s don't really vote as much as in their 40s, yes, 50s and 60s. And therefore, one of the big things has been the pension, this end of things, the pension, over debate over the pension age.
Because pensioners vote.
Yes. So your vote is very important, you know.
I feel like if you're not going to vote, then don't complain.
Yeah.
Just shut up if you're not going to vote. Like.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, my thoughts are like everybody says they're going to do all this shit.
That's all lies.
And they never do, like. And year upon year and election upon election, we keep going like, yes, we'll vote for the other people. Sure, they said they're going to do this. And then they get in and they never do it. And then, whatever, 4 or 5 years later again, we do the same thing again and expect a different result.
It's often out of their hands. Like, some lad who's an independent is like, let's change Ireland. And it's like, that's not what you're being voted in for.
Yeah. See, no, right. What I'm looking at the minute, right? So obviously I'm going building a house, right? And what Fianna Fáil said, they were like talking about their houses, right? They're like, we're going to do kind of an SSIA savings scheme again that will help. Like, if you put in €3, they'll put in €1 to help you get your deposit together for the house. And then Fine Gael came back and said, well, we're actually going to double the help to buy scheme. So instead of getting 12 and a half grand, I might get 25 grand. So it's just like, oh God, like, I don't even care about what the rest of their policies are. I'm like, show me the money.
This matters now.
Yeah, auction politics.
Auction politics, as they say, yeah.
But like, we talk about all the parties there, like, and what they're going to do, and they come out with their manifestos and they say what they're going to do. But like, a lot of the time, here in rural Ireland anyway, and in Tipperary, we've got 3 independents out of 5.
Yeah.
They're not going to change much. Open the door.
That, like, is the, if you vote for an independent versus voting for a party.
Yeah, are you as well off just to vote for an independent, and at least they'll look after you? So the people down in Kerry who vote in the Healy race, you know what I mean? They know they're not going to change climate change or anything like that, but like, they might fucking fill the potholes outside your house.
Yeah,
which is,
well,
probably
see
more
with the
benefit.
Healy Rays, when Jackie Healy Ray was first elected, Bertie Ahern really needed him to, you know, get the numbers up to have a majority in the Dáil. So
you could be lucky and be in a situation where the government,
five or six independents get in to make the government,
and the independents have you over a barrel, and they're like, oh, we need a new cardiac unit in the local hospital, and we need such and such, we need a new community centre, and such and such, and suddenly a lot more money comes into the community, you know?
But I think if every constituency thought like that...
Yeah.
We'd just have a lot of independence.
And then it'd be hard to, like, you know, heading out to Europe there talking about, like, some sort of coherent policy.
Mm. Yeah. I don't know. To be honest, in my opinion, I don't know why someone would be a politician. It's a thankless job.
Right. So a politician's pay in Ireland, what is it? The basic pay starts at 96,000 for a TD. Mm-hmm. And in the Taoiseach, the main man, is on over 200k a year.
Yeah, it's not bad time, like, to be honest. But like,
but it does take over your life.
Yeah, but you have to look at the hardship that comes with it, like, for the money. So 96,000 a year for a TD, and you're constantly getting grief because you're not going to please everyone, no matter how good you are. Even as, like, if you're the local TD, like, you can see it here with our local TD. Some people love them, more people hate them. Definitely more people hate them. But like, I think it's thankless.
I think there's no money.
There's no money.
I think how I think people saying they hate politicians is just overstated. Like, people say they hate watching The Late Late Show. Programme's still the most watched programme in Ireland. Like, yeah. 500,000 people tune in every Friday night. And if you look at Twitter, people are like, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me ever. You're just like, I think it's the same with politicians. I think a lot of politicians do really like helping people. They like helping people get their medical card, you know, get social housing, that kind of thing. I think other politicians like the status of it. You know, it's such and such deputy, TD, you know.
Do you ever think, like, people who become a nurse, right? It's like a vocation. You know, you're not going to become a millionaire, but like, you become a nurse. Maybe you have that thing in you. You're kind of caring, whatever.
Yeah.
And do you ever think maybe people become a politician because, like, they were bullied in school or something? Is that a bit harsh?
No, it could be. Could be.
So maybe you grow up in a political family.
Yeah. That seems to be.
Yeah, if your dad was a TD, you'd try and keep the seat. And
there's a bit of a smell of fucking shite off that, though, isn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a bit of a bang of shite now if your dad was in a TD and then you go in.
Yeah,
obviously you can't judge everyone. It's individual cases, but like,
well, see, like some TDs' children would, you know, get elected as county councillors, and the natural progression for them would to be go on and be a TD. But I wouldn't have they're coming with already a campaign support base. You know, I voted for your father. Sure, you can't be too much worse than he was. Sure, I'll give you a number one, or I'll give you a tick here or there, like so.
But I suppose they're probably more aware of how the system works, and they might study politics or something in college. So
yeah,
I can see how they'd be more in that zone. But for some, I don't know how, like a random business person ends up in politics.
Well, here's a cynical take on it.
Go on.
So, said business person would be like looking at a particular political party and be thinking like, maybe down the line I'd like to be a county councillor or maybe get the nod for a TD. So you would become a member of the party. You'd probably make a lot of political donations to the party locally, help fund, you know, the purchasing of campaign posters, that kind of thing. And then you would kind of like ingratiate yourself with the local members. So then when it comes selection convention time, you could be like, well, you know, I've done a lot of work for the party. Give me the nod. And you'd probably be running two or three candidates, you know, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see the point of being a TD. Not for all the money in the world. No way.
Some grief.
Like, I understand the businessman going in, all right, like, and you know, becoming a TD, and you know, probably turns out he wants to build something on some land. That has to be a reason. Like, sorry, like,
influence.
To be very cynical.
Yeah.
But influence, like, and you can, you do have a bit of a say, and you do have a bit of pull, and you do have power. And like, the casting, look, some of our best known TDs and ministers over the years have taken backhanders. And I've probably done a few things that they shouldn't have done.
Allegedly.
And we've had a couple of tribunals.
Like, you know what I mean? And everyone goes like, oh, they were a disgrace, like.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you now, and I've said this before, and I probably shouldn't say it in the podcast, but if you are in that position and some fella comes to you and says, hey, I'm looking for planning permission, right? Can you fucking pull a few strings for me there, right? Here's 15 grand in an envelope. It's no skin off your nose to do that little thing. Take the 15 grand. Okay, it's morally wrong.
Yeah,
but 15 grand to any man's money. I'm telling you that now.
And legally wrong.
Yes, and that is the reason I will not be going into politics. But I'm just saying, easy throw, like, once you're in that situation, I think about it.
Well, like, I think, like, probably what a business person would think why they want to be a TD is because they'd know what the economy of the local area is. So they'd know that, like, maybe we need to get more industrial land zones so we can get more companies, construction companies in built. And they might think that, oh, there's a shortage of skills. Maybe we should get, more money going in from local FOSS schemes or stuff like that. So, you know, I wouldn't be totally cynical. I'd take your point in it, but I'd be like, I think it's much better that we have a political system like we do in Ireland than, like, you know, in Saudi Arabia, where
I'm all about the bond.
I probably wouldn't be allowed to drive a car on my own, like, you know, so.
I'm all about the bribes.
Can I ask you, Laz, are you a fan of TV debates?
No.
I would watch them for the reason of, like, I love watching body language, to see different people's body language. And what's better than the TV debate is when somebody comes on the news afterwards and then explains, like, their body language. Oh, you can see he was on the defensive here, and then he scratches his ear there. That shows he's nervous. That's the kind of stuff I'm into. Like, but what they're saying is just a load of shit. They're all just digging up enough shit on each other. That seems to be the thing in Ireland. It's like, don't worry about what I'm going to do when I get into government. Yeah. Don't worry about what I'm going to do when I get into government. Because you're shy, and you've been hitting a lot of money. And, like, don't worry about me.
The cut of you.
You're all shy. Wait till I get in, I'll show you.
Remember that thing you did?
Yeah, I'll do the exact same thing you did for the last 2 years. And that's the thing in Ireland, like, even with the debates, is, like, the opposition, like, you're always rooting for the opposition until they get in. Mm. And then you're like, pricks. We'll vote others back in.
Yeah. On what would be the two Johnnies manifesto, Mara has made some notes here, which I love. The first one, free contraception.
We have spoke about that before, like.
We're in favour of this.
Yeah, like,
save us a lot of money. No, I'm joking. But this, they should be handing them out.
Yeah, yeah. Should be handing out condoms or like, you know, the pill or whatever people
yeah,
want.
Yeah, like, if you want, like I said this before in the podcast, if you want the pill, it's like minimum, you have to go in every 6 months, pay your GP like 60 euro, 50 euro, whatever the standard fee is. He just takes your blood pressure and goes, grand, yeah.
And here's another dosage.
Yeah, here's 6 month prescription. And then I think it's like 12 euro or something per month. Like, you know, so that's like, for 6 months, you're talking, what, 120 euro, 140 euro, depending on that. Like, you know, that's like, and you should get that for free, like, because it is, it's part of sexual health and that. So,
yeah,
anyway.
Definitely. Better pay for apprentices. They do get some hardship, but I suppose you have to learn the trade as well.
Yeah, I feel like the first year of an apprenticeship is like, do you know when you join the army and they wake up in the middle of the night throwing water at you and stuff?
Yeah.
First year apprentice is like, if you come through this now, you'll be ready for 40 years of hardship.
Mm. So, something that was a hot topic on Twitter, you put it up on our Twitter.
Yes. Banning or drastically reducing election posters.
Yeah.
They look cat.
Yeah.
I don't think they do the job. What we are suggesting is that, say, the town we live in, a medium-sized country town, say 3,000 people.
Yeah.
One area in the middle of town where everyone puts up their poster, some info, you know, a bit of writing.
Yeah.
And because, and if people aren't arsed to go look at that,
yeah,
then they don't really care about their vote. Having, we probably have 500 election posters on every poll in the town. They look cat. And who's going to be like, oh, I voted for him. Why? I liked his head.
Yeah.
I saw his head on A5 sheets all over town and thought, yeah.
To play devil's advocate, some of the comments and stuff that were on that Twitter post that we put up were like, posters remind people that there's an election. Which is probably a fair point in that, like, you see poster every fucking 5 yards and you're like, Jesus, yeah, the election's on.
If you can't remember to vote.
But at the same time, it doesn't tell you when the election's yeah. You know, it doesn't tell you when they're on. Like,
but the
like,
good thing
vote
this,
Brady.
Yeah, the good thing this year is that they, for the first time in a long time, the election's on a Saturday. So there's no, you know, you actually don't have to organise childcare. Like, you, most people have the day off.
Should
so.
Be easier, yeah. It should be easier to vote. But people were saying as well, for a young politician, I keep playing devil's advocate here.
Yeah,
but
on.
For a young politician, a new politician who is running for the first time, that posters are a good way to get your face out there.
And but some of the young male politicians are very good looking as well. You're like, ooh.
But hey, that'd be one way to get planning permission.
Yo, that. Oi, oi. But I would say, if you were a young, first-time independent candidate,
I'd be blowing Instagram out and
yeah, but
Facebook. Clear.
You don't have the budget to compete with a major party in terms of the amount of posters you get printed.
Yeah.
So you're starting on a back foot. Why not level the playing field? Like, the amount of money that is spent and you get government grants to buy posters. Save the money.
Mm.
But the only way, like, speaking to people who have political backgrounds and stuff like that, the only way really and truly to try and convince somebody to give you their vote is knock on their door and spend time chatting to them, the canvassing, beating the shoe leather. That's how you
is that, you know, what they say.
Yeah. It's like,
it's the most effective way.
Yeah, that's it. Like, people want to meet you, they want to get the cut of you, they want to know what you're about. And
I live out,
like, you might have to go into the house and sit down and eat like 10 slices of brown brack and
what
have a cup of tea and But like, if they like you, they'll vote number one. So
yeah, all
it's time consuming, but
all good politicians are involved in something anyway, aren't they? In your community, like, so you're gonna fucking see them all the time.
Yeah,
that's one way of doing it. Like, I don't know a percentage, but everybody's involved in the tidy towns or something around the town. They're in there, the bingo, something. They're in there, lads. You'll find them, or they'll find you. I live out the country; it's grand. No one really calls to the house.
Yeah.
The odd time I don't answer. I don't want to hear it. Like, yeah. Obviously Johnny would answer and it quizzed him for around 3 hours. But just going back on the signs thing.
Yeah.
So what we were saying was, when me and you were chatting in the car, was, you know, like every town has billboards. Mm-hmm. So why not they all pool their money and pay a certain amount for the billboard, and then there you go. In every town, probably across Ireland, there's normally a double billboard on the way in and a double billboard on the way out. Everybody gets their own little square. You put up your poster on that billboard and that's it.
Yeah. Put it in a place where people could park their car and have a look.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if people want to do this, like, you just get your, have a plebiscite and get your county council to do it. There's villages that have come together and said, look, have contacted all the candidates and said, look, don't put up any election posters. Here's where you can do it. And like, I think next time around, probably, I hope the village I'm from will do that, because like, just were absolutely destroyed. I had to contact one local politician, ask him to move his election poster because it was stuck.
I've seen that on your Instagram during the week.
Do you want
to tell people?
Well, it was like, I'm not going to name the politician because, in fairness, he did move it, and that was
fine. On, name him and shame him.
But it was attached to the welcome Drumconrit sign, and it was really distracting from, because it wasn't just a standard. It was like about 2 meters wide and a meter high, and it was just like, that's not the place where you should be putting your campaign posters, distracting from a local sign, like, so.
Yeah.
But he did move it, so.
It's a big election.
Yeah.
There's big things to be, like, housing, crime, childcare, Brexit, the whole lot. We're going to need a strong government, so go out and exercise your vote, is what we're saying. I don't know who to vote for, lads. We can't. Listen, we're not going to influence you. They're all as fucking bad as one another, if you ask me, but, so look, we're going to have to vote someone in. Vote someone who's going to look after you. Do you know what I mean?
If there's any politician that wants to introduce a scheme for grants for podcasting, we would be on board with that. So
get in contact if there is, because we will vote for you and we will push your agenda over the line. You know, a good turn deserves another, lads.
I don't know if we should name him, but one candidate did ring and say, could they come on the podcast? And I feel like...
And it wasn't Leo Varadkar.
Yeah, fair bucks to you. Well, we said no, but...
We have asked all leaders. Have we extended an invitation?
We put into the Taoiseach and we put into the leader of the Green Party, but we didn't hear back from either. So.
Did they not? Bastards.
Yeah.
No. They can fuck off, so.
They're not getting our vote. There you go. Get out and vote. Don't forget, in the elections, go out and exercise your vote. Okay, to paraphrase the Australians, he went walkabout last week, but he's back and fully loaded. It's time for Noel Furlong, and it's time for Noel's News.
Noel's News! It's Noel's News! How long for that?
Well, Noel, you were missing in action last week in Australia.
I was enjoying myself.
You were? Yeah, you were. How did you find Australia?
I went to a rugby match.
Go away.
I went to a rugby match, and there was a load of lads doing the haka. The haka.
The haka.
Yeah, and they were shouting. I thought there was a row going to break out. I was, grand fuck, hit him, hit him. I was roaring in the haka. And the ref was letting go.
Was he, yeah?
In fairness to him, yeah. And they started the game, and they were throwing the ball backwards. I said, how are you ever going to score? 19 years, I heard senior. I never hit the ball backwards. Every time I got the ball, I don't know if I ever told you this, Maureen, right? But every time I got the ball, I used to letter the length of the field, which was unusual for a corner forward. But it was a habit I picked up when I was a backman.
Yeah, yeah.
And I brought it with me. Now, I thought it made a bit of a spectacle of the game. You know, it made it kind of lifted things a bit.
G'd up, lads.
Yeah. In Australia, I went for a pint.
Did you?
And they gave me out a glass of beer. Where's the rest of it?
a schooner.
That's what he called it.
Yeah.
Yeah, fucking daylight robbery, I called it. I paid $9 for that. Fuck, and we got into a row over.
Did you?
Yeah, they had 4 or 5 big Pacific Islanders doing the door. Big lads.
Yeah.
Well, we got into a row with him. myself and Paddy, and I said to him, I said, look, you have the biggest chest I have ever seen. And so I kicked him right in the bollocks. I was confident enough going into the fight.
Well,
they're big men.
Yeah, they are big men, yeah.
So we didn't go back.
No.
We left it off. We didn't go back to that bar.
Just as well.
And a bit of a culture clash, you might say. And then we got barred from every pub in Sydney.
Did you?
Which is how we ended up at the rugby.
So it was the only place you could get a drink.
Only place I get us up.
Oh, jeez.
I was going very dry. Now, I have a bit of news here. Hang on, where are my sheets? A bit of news here now. Yes, okay. A man has been sent to prison for making music. And I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking.
Mike Denver.
No, authorities have finally caught up with Declan Nerney. No, the man with the $1 million fringe continues to evade the police. I actually quite like Declan Nerney.
Do you?
Do you know his song, The Big D?
No.
The Big D.
No, how does it go?
Do you know what it's about?
No.
Divorce. It's all fun and games until she wants half your pension, as Fatty McGrath used to say.
$1 million fringe.
Now, this man who went to jail for music, his name is... Oh, fuck it. His name is Mehdi Rajabian from Kilkash. No, he's from Iran.
Okay.
He's from Iran, I'm told. But the only other Iranian man I know is... do you know your man who does the takeaways? Iran in a van. Iran in a van. He does the chips.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, I don't eat chips. But there's a lad working with him, and he's very good. And they call him Kebabs Keaton. Kebabs Keaton. And his grandmother works there too. And you know what they call her?
Right.
Nan bread.
Oh, I get it, Nan, yeah.
But
I'm still laughing at Declan Nerney.
What, you want to get over that? Then little chicken kebabs are lovely. The sauce, though, you'd be fucking destroyed.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want to be in them down the back of mass.
Oh.
But I'm not mad about the old donor meat.
No.
Oh, it seems like they just fucking donations from the farm. Donor.
I like it.
Would you?
Yeah.
Typical. Townie. This man in Iran, he's 30 years of age, Mehdi, and he has already been to prison twice for making music the Iranian authorities considered unacceptable, and I'm delighted you find it so amusing.
Sorry.
He was in jail for 6 years.
God.
In Iran. That's no crack. And
sorry, no. Sorry for the lack of professionalism.
I came out with the intention of doing a bit of news, but
sorry.
As I was saying before you ruined it, he's in jail for 6 years for making music, and he was banned from, and I have in quotations, engaging in musical activities forever. Soon as he got out of jail, what did he do? Record an album. Not to fucking bother on him. And recording an album definitely counts as musical activities. Unless you're DJ Khaled or someone. He kind of sounds to me like he's announcing the winners of the Club Lotto. DJ Khaled. Justin Bieber. The winner of the voucher for Tina's hair salon. Rihanna. Not that she needs it.
No.
Isn't she lovely the way she is?
She is, yeah.
As Fatty McGrath used to say. So the idea of this album in Iran, he's gathered up musicians from all around the region, and they're Togetherness is the message.
Get over the dictionary. You're such
I tell you, you wouldn't last long in Iran. It's just a bit of Iranian trad is all it is, Mara.
Oh, is it? Jesus, that's harsh going now.
It doesn't even have lyrics.
God.
I don't know why people are offended by it. But people are offended by all kinds of things nowadays. People are too easily offended. I swear to God. We were in the Shamrock the other night and Dermot fucked a pint bottle out of land. And, well, your man was like an antichrist. He was roaring and bawling. Oh, I'm hurt. I'm losing too much blood. I'm going to pass out. I said, well, shut up the fuck. Shut up. Oh, okay, you got last. But like, there's no need to ruin the atmosphere. I said, everyone's having a good time. It was Uncle Gary's birthday. Said, everyone's having a good night. And he's like, oh, I need to go to the hospital. Someone drive me, get a bandage. I pulled him aside. I said, look. So it's Uncle Gary's birthday. Everyone's having a good time. Everyone's having a nice time. Don't ruin it for everyone. Just because you're a sap. I get you a glass of brandy. Well, you're Margaret, get him a glass of brandy. And you'll be fine. And you know Uncle Gary, you do. You know Uncle Gary. Yeah. He gasped. Once he hits about 6 pints, the pants come off.
Oh, God.
Now, I don't mind another man taking his pants off my company, but there was all kinds of people there. It was inappropriate. There was women there, and they weren't used to it. But if you're coming to Uncle Gary's birthday, you know what's in store. Anyway, your man got barred anyway for making too much noise in the pub. Yeah, he won't come. Fucking sick of his shit. So I want you, all your listeners, to go onto your Google and type in Mehdi Rajabian and listen to his new CD called Middle Eastern. And there is a song for every country in the Middle East. A noble concept, okay, for an album.
Yeah.
Not like your shit. Tip. Chances of ye win the Nobel Prize now.
Very low.
I better chance of winning the Rose Tralee. Fucking hurry, I'd say. My second story of the week, I'll keep it going. Step aside, here comes the news. About a town called Step Aside.
Oh.
I bet Maureen knows this news. Well, before I get to news, I like the name Step Aside.
Okay.
I think it's a very strange name. My other favourite town names in Ireland, of course, in County Westmeath, Tang.
Yeah.
Killinespick, County Kilkenny. Inappropriate name. Moll's Gap. Gas woman. And there's Boston, County Clare.
Yeah.
Dixborough.
Kilkenny.
Bastardstown. In Dublin. Fanny's Town. In Wexford.
Whoa.
My favourite place, Willie Rogue Island.
Where's that?
County Galway.
Whoa.
Named after Fatima McGrath. But in Step Aside, in the Fernhill Park, the county council management, they have it, right? And the previous owners had a 34-hectare park, a remarkable woodland garden, they called it, right? And I know you thought all of Dublin was flats and hair salons, which is where you seem to spend your time. But these wildflower meadows fall down gently to the road. And the county council have introduced heifers. Have you heard this?
No.
They are going, that's cows, moo cows to you. Yeah. They have six, our traditional kind of heifers, Irish heifers. And they're going to graze the meadows in a ways that won't damage the wildflowers, or, you know, the stoats and little frogs and the little buggy bugs or the hobos or whoever there's been lying there. You have a chance to run away, unlike when the big unfriendly lawnmowers come along, right? Yeah. They say the cows are going to be environmentally friendly. 6 cows on 34 hectares.
Oh.
What fuck could I get 100 in anyway? No wonder the country's fucked. So everyone's delighted that the county council are putting in a few heifers to cut the grass. Right? Everyone's delighted. But like when I do it in town, they call the guards. Okay? Oh no, you can't put a bull in the soccer field. Like, it was temporary. It was a temporary measure. Let him cover a few cows and he'd be happy. Oh no, we're trying to play a cup match. Like, let nature take its course. It's a beautiful thing. Okay? There's a big field down beside the castle.
Yeah.
Right? And the time of the fodder crisis, I might have left a few calves in. And I wasn't know that the children playing in amongst it. And they rang me and they said, Noel, you know, how did your animals end up grazing on public land? And I said, lads, 'tis like the Beach Boys used to sing, God only knows. A couple of months, I collected them anyway.
Good man.
But this is a good one. The County Council in Dublin said, other benefits are the evidence that engagement with animals and nature boosts the physical and mental health of visitors. So if anybody wants to improve their health, myself and Richie are going sculling calves next month. And we could do it a hand. So just contact Johnny Stacks here at the podcast.
Where are you going sculling?
Out in the Highlands. We'll be out in Knock Shock, right? And we're sculling calves about the band. And Richie's fucking rough man. I tell you, he'd never make a carpenter now. That fucking
oh, Jesus, no.
Now, locally, it is election time. And now, those people, they know not to call to my door. Word has got out.
Okay.
Also, I have an 8-foot sign saying canvassers will be shot. But I was only thinking, you were talking about politics there, for a command. Do you know who I used to like, politician?
Who?
Charlie High.
Why?
He was successful. Do you know what I mean? Like, he was so successful that while Ireland was in a crippling recession, he owned his own island. Do you know what I mean? Like, fair fucking play to him. That was a man who got to, you know what I mean?
Got it done.
Now, as a public servant, I'm not entirely sure where he got the money to buy his own island. But I think people respect success.
Yeah.
I think that's why people vote for Trump. People think of him as being successful. He was rich, you know. Mm. Mostly because he was in that TV show, The Apprentice. Yeah. You know, but like Evelyn Cusack doesn't actually control the weather. Which I learned after trying to bribe her. I wanted it to rain on Burke's wedding, but to no avail. But no. The last politician to call to me was McGrath. And he said, Noel, we're looking for donations. And I said, for what, says I? And he said, we're collecting for the new swimming pool. So I gave him 2 buckets of water.
Jesus. Very good, very good.
That'll do, you know.
That'll do, is right. Yeah, thanks very much, Noel.
Thanks, Noel.
Pleasure as always.
We'll see you next week.
God willing.
Our mystery topics are spicier than a chicken vindaloo and not to everyone's taste. Maura, what's your mystery topic this week?
Okay, so this week's mystery topic is about a story I overheard on Lewis. Or an experience of writing Lewis. So I think this might be a little vein of new correspondence that we might get in stories of people, of stuff they've overheard. So this week I had to get to Lewis. I was going to see my friend in Smithfield. So I got on at the Jervis stop, and as I got on, 4 security guards got on behind me. So I was like, what's up here? Tucked down the headphones. And they started talking to these 3 people. So there was a man and woman sitting down, and there was another guy standing up. Now, the 2 men looked fairly intoxicated. One was fine or whatever. But security guards started, you know, like, did the thing of like, can I see your travel pass, whatever. And like, it was grand. They had travel passes, and security guards are, look at, we're getting complaints about how loud you are. You need to start quieting down. Now, they were being loud. They were like, you know, not excessively loud, but like, herd of Spanish students loud. So, and you could overhear everything they were saying. Okay. So, and then the woman, like, throughout this was, like, going mad at security guards, like, telling them not to touch her because she was 5 months pregnant. So, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Anyway, security guards were like, right, look, be quiet. So two of the security guards stayed on and... whatever. I was kind of like, okay, I'm between the security guards and these couple, this is awkward, and these three people, but anyway, whatever. So Lewis takes off, and security, it's the man sitting down to the Yvonne is still going on. She's like, what do you want me to do, like, to piss in a stick in front of him and show him that I'm pregnant? And
Jesus,
yeah, it's just like, oh god. And then your man goes, sitting next to her, goes, are you actually, now this is an abridged version of the conversation, he goes, are you actually pregnant? And she goes like, yeah, I'm 13 weeks pregnant. And your man was just like, oh god. You could just kind of, he just goes, oh, you already have a son and daughter.
Oh.
And then she goes to him, she goes, without missing a beat, they're not yours, they're Francie's.
Oh! Oh, shit.
So your man standing up goes, what'd you tell him that for? And then she goes, sure, look, he had to find out at some stage. He has to know Debbie's out riding the country.
Oh, lads.
So it's just like, oh my god, the tension. Because the woman and the man standing up are having an argument about whether or not he should have been told this. And your man who's sitting down just starts crying. He's like, don't be talking about me kids like that. I start shaking with the rage or whatever. And the guy standing up goes, look, whatever you have to say with him, how about we get off the Lewis and say it? Because it was just one of those situations where you're like, oh my god. And next thing, Smithfield, I was like, off, get me out of here.
God.
So yeah, that was like an interesting ride in the Red Lewis. Now,
jeez, I would have stayed on just to hear what was.
I'd still be on the Lewis.
Yeah, no, it was. But there is actually like it does happen fairly regularly that you hear funny things overheard in Dublin. There's actually an overheard in Dublin Twitter account, and there is actually a book. So, do you want to hear some of the funny things from the scout? So, overheard in Dublin on the Dart. I want a Romeo and Juliet romance. It lasted 3 days and 6 people died. Cop the fuck on. overheard in Dublin in a Nespresso store. A man abusing the free tasting system. Sure, why would I buy a coffee machine when I can come in here and have a free one?
Jeez. Probably you, Johnny, was it?
A Dublin man going, in all and anyways. Confused Brazilian. In all and anyways, what does that mean? Dub. Yeah, you know, in anyways.
Jeez.
Also overheard in Dublin, parental advice from father to teenage son. Be like your dad, son. Stay a bachelor.
Jesus.
And my favourite one, overheard actually in Tala Hospital. Doctor abruptly asking elderly patient, what brought you to A&E? Me son's car, you feckin' idiot.
I can't beat the Dubs.
So there are actually other Instagram accounts as well. Overheard in LA, overheard in New York, and overheard in London. So do you want one of the LA ones?
Yeah.
Lawyer, what gear were you in at the moment of impact? Witness, Lululemmings and Nikes.
Oh, jeez. Oh, what gear were you in? Adidas Sambas.
Yeah, also overheard in LA, his ex-wife was an ambassador. Oh, what brand? No, of Japan.
That sounds like LA. It's very LA. Yeah. Very LA.
So, also, he's a psychopath. Isn't that kind of a strong word? No, have you actually seen the way he eats burritos horizontally?
Who eats burritos horizontally?
Sick bastard. Yeah.
Like a motor organ.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. So, I want to throw it out to listeners.
Yeah.
Send us in your funny overheard stories. So, and check out those Instagram accounts, because they are a nice half an hour scrolling, laughing to yourself bit of crack. So,
okay, Deli, there you go, listeners. Get in your overheard conversations. Get them in. We'll read them out in the podcast here. Okay, don't forget to rate, review, and tell your friends about the Two Johnnies podcast, and use the hashtag Two Johnnies Pod. That's the number Two Johnnies Pod, to spread the good word. And make sure and review the podcast as well. And you can message us any suggestions you have and you'd like to see in the podcast, and you'd like some new things We're all open to suggestion here.
Email, Instagram. Follow us on Instagram, The Two Johnnies. We post there every day.
Yeah, there you go. Now, finally, it's Yurt and Dirt time. That's where we give our highlights and lowlights of the week. Johnny Bay.
My dirt, the History Channel.
Why?
Now, I don't have Sky. I don't watch much TV. So this had kind of slipped past me. But since I last had the History Channel many years ago, it appears to have gone to absolute shit.
Okay.
On the plane back from Australia, the History Channel was one of the options on the flight entertainment. And the three shows that they were recommended was a thing about video games, a thing about David Hasselhoff, and porn stars. People come in and pawn stuff. And I thought, like, all those things now you're talking about the last 30 years.
Yeah.
You know, history is more than that. What, like, what about the Romans?
Yeah.
What about the Mongols?
Two world wars, yeah.
What about the Egyptians and all the stuff they built? The giant Lego in the desert. You know?
Maybe they just ran out of content ideas. And
I feel like they're chasing the sexy stuff. People need to know about the giant Lego in the desert.
Fair play. I see your point.
They definitely do, lad. They definitely do.
Go on. That's just saying History Channel. Come on now.
Not really too negative for me this week.
You complain the whole way home in the flight now.
Yeah, flights. As in, my yurt of the week, I'll start with my yurt, is thanks to the air hostess who upgraded us to extra leg room on our flight home from Australia, and also halfway on the way there as well.
She's a hero.
Yeah, we won't name her on the podcast, but she knows who she is. She works for Emirates. Thank you very much, Miss Lady, Miss Air Hostess. We did enjoy the extra leg room. And particularly for our tour manager, James, who was sunburnt as fuck on the way home. Jeez. And was like sitting beside a radiator.
Yeah. James and the giant knees.
So he enjoyed that. His sunburnt back enjoyed the extra leg room. My dirt, like, plain food, lad. We said it loads of times. Yeah. Plain food is dirt. Also, the breakfast in Australia. And also, the big thing in Sydney was, like, schnitzel. So
What's a schnitzel?
A schnitzel is, like, meant to be like whatever, I don't know. Everyone was like, oh, you gotta try a schnitzel.
It's
when you're in
Chicken Maryland, basically.
Yeah, basically,
but flat.
It's like a big goujon,
right?
It's pretty much the Australian dish, like.
Okay.
Yeah. It's oversold. It's not that great. It's no, just like a massive goujon. Like, we like goujons, but I'd rather small goujons than big goujons. So that is my dirt, Johnny.
Yeah, of course, I am giving my travel tip instead of my yurt, and a quick one. You've been there, Croagh Patrick.
Yeah.
Ireland's holy mountain.
Lovely.
If you're looking for something to do and you're like, oh, I've never climbed a mountain or whatever, Croagh Patrick is good because you can't get lost.
Yeah.
The footpath is massive. You can see it on Google Maps. And I know it's difficult or whatever.
Yeah.
But getting lost up the mountain is shit. So on Croagh Patrick, it's really slippy. It's fucking funny to see, like, Germans or whatever going up in all the gear, like all the gear, the boots. Yeah. And then there's a couple of local lads just in, like, O'Neill's tracksuit. And zipping by, I swear, like, it's like we're just going to the shop, Matt, and whang up and down Croagh Patrick, not a bother to him.
Yeah, I remember when I was climbing it, I was just like, this is torture, because it just, further you go up, it gets harder and harder, and then there's like this, like, 6-year-old just skipping past you, like, and she in, like, flip flops, and you're like, oh god, just suck it up.
I met a bunch of Americans doing it in their bare feet.
Mad jokes,
mad bastards. People still do that once a year as a big pilgrimage, but
yeah, you'd have to feel like you did something really bad to deserve that penance.
I better go.
And it's near Westport. You probably stay in Westport in Mayo and have the crack. And then if you go to the nearby village of Newport, there is a statue to a forgotten hero of the Irish War of Independence, Commandant Edward Lyons, right? He was captured, interrogated and tortured in the jail in Galway. And then when the War of Independence was over, they found him in an asylum, and he had gone completely insane from being tortured for so long.
Jesus.
And then he died in 1924 at 28 years of age.
Oh my
he just
God.
Died from being bit. And there's a big statue to him in Newport. And until I went there, I'd never even heard of him.
Yeah.
So he never gave up any information because he was a hard bastard. But you can visit all that and have a good laugh and and enjoy yourself.
What a way to finish the podcast.
I just have to say, do you know all those statues of the lads in like 1916 and all? They dressed fair sharp.
Yeah, good dressers, but
did you ever see a photo of Michael Collins when he wasn't in full gear or a suit?
He must have slept in a suit.
Yeah. Snappy dressers, the lot of them.
I think he did, because if you're in a safe house, you didn't undress.
He actually did sleep in a suit. Yeah.
There you go. I'm discovering all the time.
You're like Duran Duran.
All right. From me, Johnny Snacks.
From me, Johnny B.
From me, more.
We'll see you next week. Keep the faith. Good luck.